Good morning. Thank everybody for coming. Today's share is dedicated by Ed Zaslow in memory of his father, Dr. Maurice Zaslow, Lav Hashem, Moshe Chaim Ben Tzvi Hirsch, whose yahrzeit will be this Wednesday, which is Shushan Purim Katan. Shama Shehav and Aliyah. Today's share is, as we'll see soon, partially inspired by Purim Katan, which is coming up this week. But really, it was a story that really got me started on this topic. Today's topic is called Collecting Chesed, How to Increase Kindness to Those Knocking at Your Door. Why did I think of such a topic? So I'll tell you what happened to me this week. So in my capacity, running the base mentorship, one of my responsibilities is I have to recruit talmidim to the yeshiva. That entails traveling the world, trying to find talmidim that are would fit in our yeshiva. I ended up this week in New York, New Jersey, Brooklyn, Queens, Lakewood, Teaneck, all over the place. Up and down the Garden State Parkway, across the belt, through thick and snow.
It's good to recruit during winter.
All over the place. I remember after doing this for two straight days, Tuesday and Wednesday, I was like, you know, it's hard, not easy. I come to an airport called Newark. I flew into JFK, flew out of Newark. I come to the airport, and this airport is like crammed like anything. It made LaGuardia look good. And I see two familiar faces. I'll leave out their names, but there were two individuals from this community of North Miami Beach who are on the same flight as me, flying back home. Now, I knew I was there. I was busy, I guess, you know, with my job, you know, healthy spreading, getting more talmidim for the yeshiva. Why were these two individuals there? I figured they must have had some business trip. I was told originally they took a 5:30 a.m. flight that morning, had a meeting near Newark Airport, and now they're flying home. In fact, one of them didn't even bring a coat. It was quite cold in New York. Didn't even bring a coat. But upon further discussion, they weren't there for a classic business meeting. In fact, the meeting they flew in for, think about it, you know, they had to be at the airport at 4:30 in the morning, so didn't get much sleep. By the time we got home, it was 11:30 at night. What meeting do they have to be there for? So this is not a publicly known conference, but there was a conference in New Jersey. It was a conference of Tomchei Shabbos. Tomchei Shabbos is an organization that basically take care of poor people in communities, and they provide for their, you know, Shabbos needs, physical needs, what families need. So they had basically a conference, the second one they've had, of all the different Tomchei Shabbos organizations across New York, New Jersey, Baltimore, Chicago, Los Angeles, all the major Jewish communities all got together, and they had this conference to compare notes. What do you guys do for families? How can we do what we do better? And this is what these selfless individuals busy themselves with in the middle of the week, to fly in and out New Jersey just to figure out how to do chesed better. And I thought that was quite phenomenal. For people to be so selfless to, this is what they put in the middle of the week of their agenda, and they both have busy jobs, to take a day off, quote unquote, to fly in to see how you can do chesed better is really inspiration for all of us. And especially this time of year, where this week will be Purim Katan, There's a very important halacha I'd like to first focus on. Top of your sheets. The halacha of Matanas Nevi'onim. Right, Shloshim Yom Kol Machag. It's always good to learn the halachas. And really, this halacha in particular probably needs some degree of stressing in our society today, as I'll explain in a moment. Halacha says, Chayiv Ko'odim Litim L'Pachos Shtei Matanos Shnei Aniyim. Person has to give at least two matanos to two aniyim. Matanos levyonim. And basically, what the halacha states is you have to provide a meal for two individuals. Okay? That's the minimum of the mitzvah. Now, the mitzvah matanos levyonim is one of those few mitzvahs that we have on Purim Day. We have a mitzvah matanos levyonim, we have a mitzvah of Sudas Purim, and we have a mitzvah Mishloach Manos. Now, the world today has gotten quite commercialized, and Sudas Purim people it's quite common for people to have these huge sudos, inviting tons and tons of people. It's not, you know, it's very in vogue not just to have a small little family gathering. People have these huge Purim parties, Sudas Purims. That costs money, especially when you add up the drinks. Costs even more money. Mishloach Manos, right? You could technically get away the mitzvah itself. Mishloach Ish L'Re'eyu is only to one person. You give one Mishloach Manos, you're good. Many people today, self included, right, our circle of connections and friends is bigger and bigger. And it's not crazy for a family to give 100 Mishloach Manos. Now that adds up. Right? Some people say way more than that. Okay, great. But everything costs money. Everything adds up. That's where this halacha that Mishnah Berurah brings in a moment, in the context of our society today, is important. The Mishnah Berurah writes, Shtei Matanos, Zel Medina, Ranatanos Levyonim, is two matanos, that's the Iker Din. Avo be'emes, mutuv laharbos matanos of Yolim, me laharbos besudos v'shloach manos, l'reyu. Really, ideally, a person sitting there with his checkbook or his wife's credit card, right? You're there measuring, cheshbonning out, okay, how much money am I allocating to this year's Purim celebrations? It's really better to give more money to Matanos of Yonim than Laharbos Besudoso Mishloach Manos Re'eyu. Really, you should give more for that one category, Matanos of Yonim, than really, even ideally, the other two combined. Shem Simcha Gdol Mufura El Esmoch Leiv La'aniyim Yisom La'amanos. Really, there's no greater Simcha, right? The Chafetz Chaim chooses to argue the point, not just because people need it and this. Chafetz Chaim is a very smart man. He knows I'm competing the mitzvah matanos of Yonim versus these other two mitzvos, which I get bang for my buck. Right? Sudas Purim, I'm going to have a geshmaka party. Mishloach Manos, I'm going to make a lot of friends. So I have something to gain from it. What do really I have to gain by giving money to somebody who I may not even see again? So, the Chafetz Chaim explains, really, if you appreciate the simcha of what it means when poor people have means to get by, so that simcha is really a stronger simcha than the high you could get by Yesudas Purim, or whatever friendship you could gain by Mishloach Manos. Pretty interesting argument Chafetz Chaim makes. The Dome of the Shechina, and you're comparable to Hashem. Shenemar l'hachios ruach shfalim, hoshalim nilchim. So, the Chafetz Chaim is pointing out here in the Mishnah Berurah that it is important for one to focus on matanos levyonim, and really, whatever a person could do to help an ani is a big deal. It's a big mitzvah, and, you know, unfortunately in the world today, poverty has not been taken away. You don't have to go to the Sudan or other third world countries. To live a Jewish life is not simple for many people, especially if people don't have jobs that really make ends meet. And there are a lot of people in here, in Israel, that could use money. And whatever a person could give, Matanos Leviyonim, it's a tremendous mitzvah. And as the Chafetz Chaim writes, even the simcha a person gets from it is a big simcha. Right? These individuals that I happen to bump into in the airport, I absolutely cannot give out their identities. You know, that would be the last thing they want is for me to broadcast to everybody. Oh, you know, two nice guys in the neighborhood that run the conferences for Tomchei Shabbos. But I'm sure internally they get a tremendous feeling of satisfaction that they're really helping out people and they really make a difference in people's lives. In fact, one of them expressed to me in that whole conference, the whole conference is Tomchei Shabbos, there was about 20, 25 people in the room. And if you add up all those communities, figure Brooklyn, Borough Park, Williamsburg, Lakewood, the other spots in Jersey, Baltimore, Chicago, Muncie, Florida, LA, you add up, he said those 20, 25 people in that room were affecting the lives of literally tens of thousands of people. Unbelievable. Tremendously satisfying thing. So that as an introduction, I would like to talk about the halachas of what to do when a collector comes to your door. Right? Most of us, you know, not everybody could be involved so much. Maybe we should be on a small scale. But Tomchei Shabbos, a little chesed in the organization, you know, it does take a lot for the people that run it. They are busy with it a lot. But you know, we ourselves have opportunities. We have aniyim, we'll talk more exactly who, are knocking on our doors. What can we do for them? And I'll tell you one thing, this is not scientific. I moved here 5 years ago. I believe since I first moved there, I've definitely seen the amount of people knocking on my door has gone up. My simple sociological reasoning for that is I think North Miami Beach more and more has been put on the map of everybody. It's a tremendously growing from community. And the amount of people that are visiting from out of the community to collect money has grown. I think so. And, I think I get, you know, in my house is Lav Davka on everyone's address list because the previous owner was a Gentile. He might have mezuzahs up. I'm not sure he gave tzedakah to all these people. But, I usually get quite a few a week. Not sure it's mamish daily, but it's quite frequent. So what are the halachas, or what should be the ideals, what we do when somebody knocks on our door with, you know, something, hey, I'm here for making a collection, two guys are making a collection. What are the halachas about it? I think it's an interesting idea for a share, and I'm not saying I can answer all the questions, but I'll try to answer a few. Firstly, do I have to give something to a person who knocks on my door? Now, I'm not going into all the complicated halachas about Maaser itself. Let me just touch on an idea, right? Torah says, Aser Taser, and we learn from there, a person is supposed to give Maaser, right? 1/10 of one's money, a person should give towards tzedakah. Okay, no. There is special brachas, a person can get rich by that. This one area a person even is allowed to, quote-unquote, test Hashem about, give the money and see if you lost out by it. Okay. And whatever charity money that people have, tzedakah money that people have their organizations and their places which they give. Right? And okay, there are different halakhas really. There might be kedimas what areas, you know, get kedima. But, you know, end of the day, people give where they want to give. People give where they have connections. People give where their organizations they're affected by, that appeal to them. Okay. But also out there, you know, are the common ani who approach a person in shul or here by a person's door to give. So there is a halacha, really based on a pasuk in the Torah, that let's assume that a person does have miser funds available. You have some money you could give. So then, let's say you decide, I like the way this guy is dressed. I want to give this guy. So again, if it's for really no good reason why a person decides not to give to an ani, there is a law in the Torah called Losametzas Lavavcha. And Losametzas Lavavcha says a person shouldn't be stingy, a person shouldn't be cold-hearted. If a person comes to your door and you're able to give him something, ideally you should give him something. Now, I'll tell you a big nafkamina on this. In fact, so much so, you know, like yeshiva, we send once a year, we send around the Bachrim to different communities to collect money. So it's coming up relatively soon. Some of the guys are at Rebbe. I don't know if it's going to be this year. I'm like, why? What's the problem? He said, well, I don't know that people are going to open their doors to us. Because by now, everybody has Ring on their door and on their phone. Ring is a wonderful app which allows you to see your front door wherever you are. You put up a camera, and this broadcasts your smartphone, so you could be in the beaches of the Bahamas, but you see who's at your door. And you could decide, you know, you could, you know, scare them away. Hey, what are you doing here? You know, all the way from your beach front spot in the Bahamas. So it's known that now that people have Ring, a lot of people not so quick to open their doors. I'll check out who's by the door. It's not a small little peephole anymore, right? Also, probably people always felt weird. You know, I'm trying to remember if I remember any stories like that. I don't know, but I think I've heard from base matters guys. You know, you hear like noise going to the door, and like there's someone clearly going there. They're looking to people, and then they just like walk back away. Right? So that's a little awkward. But nowadays, you don't need to do that. Pop open your phone, look at it, boom. Okay, I can tell someone's there. Now, Ring might be the perfect, just like other things, technology in today's time, but Ring might exactly be the Isser of Losamis Lavavcha. Right? Obviously, there's good purposes to, I'm not saying you shouldn't install a Ring on your phones. There's very good reasons to have it. It's extra security. But to just ignore people because, that's not so simple. Right? There's an Isser Losamis Lavavcha. If you're able to give, someone's knocking at your door, you know, ideally, again, a person has the means to do it. Again, it doesn't mean that a person has to give, you know, an exorbitant amount of money, whatever a person's able to do. But a lot of times, you know, just to give anything to these people is meaningful. You know, sometimes people have bad experiences with collectors and you want to give them or write a check for some amount and they start harassing you for more. Okay? So, yeah, some people say it happens a lot. So, look, hey, Steve, with your sense of humor, Yeah, you have to have a good, you know, a good joke, a good nice way to put it, and you know, you try to help the person out. But yeah, you could have people who badger you. You know, anyone's been to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, it's in recent years, it's also like shocking. You know, there is a tremendous amount of poverty in Israel today, and even I found, like regular quote-unquote teenagers, when they see Americans, they have no busha not to go up to them, hey, you have 5 shek for me? You have 20 shek for me? $5 for me? Like they see an American, it's a way to get money, I could use some money, go and ask. like whatever busha there used to be in collecting, the busha is a concept, embarrassment is a concept, which in some ways the world has less and less of it. And yeah, people could challenge you back sometimes, hey, you know, they could be belligerent to you. So, okay, you know, that's not an easy person to deal with, but it doesn't necessarily exempt you from giving tzedakah to them. I'll tell you another story. Just happened last week. Somebody told me at 10:40 at night, and this is a house that has children, right here in North Miami Beach, somebody, don't know, forgot the exact details. Did they knock on the door or they rang the bell? They probably rang the bell even. But 10:40 at night. Now that's totally inconsiderate. And, you know, that's, hey, it's not nice. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean, I'm not saying you have to answer the door there, especially if you're in bed. But let's say a person's up anyway. There's a lot of people, I'm the younger generation, right? 10:40, the night's still young. You have to be up. So this guy did an avla of knocking on your door at 10:40. You know, doesn't mean he's not poor and can't use money. Don't forget, a lot of times these people, they travel, they don't know what time is. They know they came in from Israel, they came here and there. Could be sometimes they don't know. Lav dafka. Right, then you see the car taking them around, keep on moving. Right, it's okay. But, part of sometimes doing chesed, I'll see you later, I came across an interesting story, is inclusive if the person is annoying. Now that might be, many people can't deal with such a person. And it could be, you know, if you really have to deal with this person more than 2 minutes, you know, you might be pater al tzonis, I can't handle him. Okay, but there still is, you know, pashtus, you know, some degree of responsibility. The Duke has said the person's poor, he's down on his luck. You know, obviously we don't imagine what we would be, how we would feel if we were on the other side of the door. We needed it, and it was desperate. So desperate people do desperate things. But in general, you know, what a person could do for another person, he rings the bell, the most basic thing, open the door and try to give them some type of donation. That's, I would say, the first step. Next question, is there a difference if the person knocking on your door is an ani themselves, or let's say they're a collector, they're collecting for somebody else? Now, one other thing which comes up in many communities, so how even do you know who's legit, who's not legit? So most communities have to have some form of tu'udah, some form of a certificate to know that they're legitimate. And most of the time these days, people come around with these things, they show it to you. You might recognize some of the names of the rabbis that sign on to these things, you might not. But okay. You know, I actually saw, you know, like even, you know, our job is to give tzedakah. Now, you're right, it could be sometimes, you know, we should probably vet a situation to see that we're giving a correct tzedakah and not a tzedakah that's going to, you know, the cigarettes killing the guy or something else, and he's a phony. Yeah? But Lemaisa, let's say he has a valid certificate. Is there a difference between an ani and a gabay tzedakah? So I found psak from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that there is a difference. It's very interesting. Shlomo Zalman understands that the iser v'samitz v'levcha, you shouldn't turn a person down, applies to the ani himself. So if the ani is knocking on your door, I'm making a collection, I need it for my family and this and that. So that's where this iser, don't be stingy, don't be cold-hearted, give him something. But if we're talking about a gabay tzedakah, I'm making a collection on behalf of these people. I'm a Rosh Kolo, I'm collecting for the poor people in my Kolo. So Shlomo Zalman holds, in that case, you're not necessarily mechuyev. If you turn that person down, that wouldn't be an Isser Lo Sametz Es Levavcha. Lo Sametz Es Levavcha is only to the Ani themselves. but not to a collector on their behalf. Very interesting color. Because the Torah is only talking, this guy put his faith in you, this guy needs it, I'm turning him down, so he gets heartbroken. Now the collector, he might feel pretty bad, but it's not the same feeling as the ani, and that wouldn't be an Isra L'Samas V'Lavcha. Yes?
Isn't it a higher level of tzedakah if the ani doesn't know who it's coming from, so it protects, and the person giving doesn't know who they're giving to?
Yes, yes. We'll get into that. Really, what I talked about before, like Tom Cheshava, some of these things really could be done in a very quiet way that, you're right, the people don't know they're getting it. And yeah, that really is the ideal way to give tzedakah. When we come to people knocking on your doors, so either way, they usually put out there, you know, even a lot of times the people collecting will give some information about the person they're collecting for. They love Dafka, they're giving you a picture and a name. Sometimes they do that too. But yeah. Now, that's the psak of Shlomo Zalman. I did find there are others who disagree and would say even to the collector who's coming to your door, who's not doing it on his behalf, but who's doing it on behalf of somebody else, but he's also invested in it. And, you know, this is his mission, his passion, collecting money for that ani. And to turn him down, even though he's not the ani himself, that also would be nichlal ne'isar l'samas v'levcha. But at least according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, there's a difference. According to Yoshev, there's a difference. And I'd like to add another point, which is important. You have to realize, not everybody who comes to your door who say they're making a collection for a friend, does it really mean a friend? I remember recently, someone came to my door, lady. And she was saying she was making a collection for her friend. I think I know who the lady is, and I'm pretty sure she's probably not making a collection for her friend. Probably for herself. But obviously she has dignity and pride. She doesn't want to say it's for her. So she says she's doing it for a friend. So thus this idea that there might be a difference if it's a collector on behalf of a person versus the person themselves, you have to know, I'm talking to the collector, or am I really talking to the person themselves that needs the money? And therefore, you know, a person should be cautious that many times, and the same compassion that you have the person told you straight up, it's a collection for my family, you should have in that situation too. You have to know. I'll give you another scenario. This happens too. The fact that preparing the share, I had a lot of chalisha, I felt bad because I remember a case like this happened to me not too long ago. What happens if someone asks you multiple times? Do you have to give multiple times? Some of these collectors you see once, I'll see them again maybe a year from now. Okay. But what about somebody, you see them now, you see them 2 weeks from now, a month from now, right? What do you do in those situations? You get those too. In fact, you even get situations, this is the case that happened to me. I remember a guy came to my door, spent time with him, gave him, and like a week later, he knocked on my door again. He just made a mistake. He didn't realize, he came to this house already, this, like as soon as I opened the door, he was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And I said, "Oh yeah, you know, I gave him, okay, you know, fine." You know, and I just, you know, he himself, his posture already was like he was embarrassed that he already came to me. But I'm not sure I shouldn't give him again. In fact, I'm pretty sure that I probably should have given him again. I feel bad about it. But the Beferish HaHalacha. Where's this halacha? So the Chavetz Chaim has an amazing sefer called Avas Chesed. Avas Chesed are a compilation of all the halachas of different forms of chesed. Tzedakah, halva, an amazing, amazing sefer to learn. Codified halachas of what to do for chesed. So in Perek Aleph, Chelek Aleph, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin. Let's read what the Chavetz Chaim writes. Ain shir l'mitzvahs k'mielas chesed. There's no shir There's no end amount for how much a person could do for chesed for another Jew. Afila ad me'ir pamim. Even if the guy comes to ask you 100 times for a loan or for money, even 100 times, right? And 100 is not really a cap. It's an expression. Even 100 times. And the Chafetz Chaim writes, your heart shouldn't be wrong to think. Come on, how much does this guy bother me constantly borrowing money from me and paying back? The Chafetz Chaim is so good because he knows how to talk to people. You realize it's a big bother every time this guy comes to borrow money from you. He borrows the money, and you have to remember to get it back from him, and he asks you to push it off a little bit. It's a hack. You got to do that 100 times, Chafetz Chaim says. 100 times? Chafetz Chaim says, well, what happens if this guy was a purchaser from your business? He has a big account by you. He comes by every month doing business with you. Does that bother you? Oh, it doesn't. Pumper carrot. It makes him your best customer. So the Chafetz Chaim says you got to treat tzedakah the same way. Every single time you give money to him, you're mekayim mitzvah say daraisa. V'yavol of bracha meis Hashem, and you'll be rewarded with bracha from Hashem. K'mo shomar kasul in tzedakah, not in titin lo. Hayna feel meir pamin. So even if it means multiple times, 100%, you should give it to him. The same way it'd be by business. You're getting a good return on this. Even if it means multiple times. Now obviously it's hard, it's not so easy. But the mitzvah is multiple times. I'll tell you, another story hit me. I think I only went collecting one time in my life on behalf of yeshiva. Baruch Hashem, I took a job here in yeshiva which doesn't require any financial responsibilities. I remember before I was leaving Kolol, I figured I should do something to help out the yeshiva. So I volunteered with a friend of mine. We were going to dedicate one Sunday. We went, I can say where. I went to Philadelphia to go and collect money for the yeshiva. Not far drive on a Sunday morning from New York to Philly. So I went with a list, house to house, trying to raise some money just by knocking on doors to the yeshiva. To be honest, one of the toughest experiences of my life.
Really nice.
It was horrible. Okay, it's this. I remember one house I went to. Gorgeous home. Knocked on the door, and this is going back years ago. This is pre-Ring. It could be this house probably did have video cameras, I'm sure. Remember I went and knocked on the door and like, yeah, nobody was letting me in. Okay, fine. A while later, still going around the whole different neighborhood, come to another house, also huge, huge, huge house. Try knocking the door. Couldn't get into that house either. It happened to most houses that day. There was one mechanach who was like sick, who came out of, bed to like spend time with us and give us money. Like he was a big donor of the day. Go figure. Right? The sick mechanach. Actually, his daughter gave us money too. I told the story over at a Shavuot Brachos. But anyway, I remembered, it was quite embarrassing. The house was so big, I knocked on the door of the house twice. Just one was a side door, one was a front door. This house took up an entire block. Huge house. I came one way, I came the other way. I thought it was two different houses. It was the same house. They didn't open the door once. But really, Meikar HaDin, the Mechayev to open the door twice. That's what the Chafetz Chaim is writing.
But the things are right.
Now, I want to show you an interesting thing over here. What's the source of this halacha? Where do we know that one would have to give tzedakah even multiple times to the same person? What's the source of that? Seemingly, that's a chiddush, right? If you'd ask me, I don't know. Like, I have to give tzedakah once. but like constantly, again and again. So if you look, the Chofetz Chaim brings sources for everything that he quotes. It's called in the Siv Chesed, on the bottom of your sheets. Look what he writes. You have to do it even 100 times. Just like the Mil's Chesed, a person does with his body, which means to who Bikur Cholam, which is the mitzvah of Bikur Cholam, visiting the sick. Amrim ben Darim, to who ad kuf pamim bayom. Really, Bikur Cholam would require a person to visit even 100 times in a day. Imagine you go to visit some sick person in the hospital, make a big trip there, you visit him. 2 hours later, after getting back, he calls you up, you know, I could really use something. Would you mind coming back? Now you look at yourself, I'm a big tzaddik. I just went to the hospital to visit him. But they ask, then he calls and asks you to do something again. Now again, if you have other mitzvahs or other obligations, lav dafka every time, you could drop what you're doing and run back to the hospital. But the halacha is, even up to 100 times a day, you could have multiple scenarios of Bikur Cholam. And it's not just, I did it once. I'm Pater. The Chofetz Chaim brings a proof from Gemara and Darim. That's even 100 times. Kein hu adinyan in Gemil Chasadim Mimono. And that's the same thing. From Bikur Cholam, we learn out to Gemil Chesed with one's money, whether it's a loan or tzedakah. That's even 100 times. And then he writes, additionally, really, the whole idea of doing chesed even 100 times is provable from the Gemara and Baba Metzia. To have it, I feel a kuf pam in mashma or nitzta riteno or drasha achrina. There's a Gemara and Baba Metzia really says two things in that Gemara. Number one, from Hashavas Aveda, and two, also from like a person has a loan and loses a collateral, you have to give him back to him. So it gives you a collateral, you have to give it back to him. It means even 100 times. Well, let's talk about Hashavas Aveda. It's a more easier case to talk about. Right? The Chofetz Chaim is saying, Hashavas Aveda, a guy loses an object. You find it. You give it back to him. Next thing you know, it's what you call a loser. Right? It's lost again. Halacha is, you got to return to the guy again. And again, even 100 times. So that's all these cases, when it comes to tzedakah and chesed, when it comes to Bikur Cholam, when it comes to Hashavas Aveda, there's no share. Even 100 times, a person has to do it. So an interesting question. Why did the Chofetz Chaim need to bring a proof for this tzedakah shayla, this halva shayla, from the case of Bikur Cholam? Why didn't he just bring the second proof from Hashavas Aveda? In fact, there might even be a difference between these halachas. One might, and if anything, the second proof might be even a better proof. Why doesn't the Chofetz Chaim just bring a proof that you have to do tzedakah 100 times from the din of Hashavas Aveda? That's a question that somebody asks. So it was bothering me over Shabbos. I think I have a good answer. I'll answer with a story. In fact, in preparing for this share, one of the people that saw my Mar Makomos asked me, why don't you bring down this sefer? This piece from a sefer. I looked at his Mar Makom. Very good piece about tzedakah. In the piece, the author, which I'll leave out the name for now, let's just say a major, major Torah personality, it's well known to everybody, but in his way of describing the mitzvah of tzedakah, he compared it to the mitzvah of esrog. And he says, just like you'd be very careful with an esrog, so when somebody's sick and you're visiting him, he's your esrog. He's your mitzvah. You better take good care of him. That's what's written up in a sefer. So I remember the story of some gadol said when he was sick, he says, I don't want this rav visiting me. The rav who wrote that sefer visiting me. Why? He says, because he views somebody sick as a cheftza of a mitzvah. Just like You have an esrog. He says, I don't want to be a chefza to that gavra. Sometimes people could view sort of a person who's sick, oh, you're an opportunity for a mitzvah. You're a chefza. There's a big difference between a chefza and a gavra. And not in brisk, even though it might have originated from it. It's a big difference. A person's a person has feelings. He's not your mitzvah. Oh, I have to get a shidduch for this person. Oh, you'll be my mitzvah. Nobody wants to be your Rachmanis case. Nobody wants to be, oh, you lost your job. Oh, I'm going to find you a job. No, you should. I'm not saying, but they have to be treated with respect. So perhaps the reason why one cannot learn out the halachas of Gemilas Chasadim from the halachas of Hashavas Aveda is one might get the wrong impression that Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah and an object. Gemilas Chesed is not a mitzvah and an object. You can't learn the halachas of people out from the halachas of chefzas, of objects. People are different. And I think that's a very important point about how to treat people. Is you have to treat people with respect, no matter what. They're down their luck. They need something. So a person should try to the best of their ability to see that they can do to help them out. One last halacha I came across. Interesting halacha. Is the guy has, again, we're talking about, there's a set amount of money a person has they could give to tzedakah. And let's say, you know, they're at a point already. They only have X amount of money left. And they're normal. This would cover most of the normal people that come to them. But then somebody goes and knocks at the door they weren't expecting. Now, it's not where they made a nether to give any particular person or organization. But usually they have their people, this amount of money will cover the rest of their tzedakah that they gave last year. But somebody knocks on your door, new, you never saw this guy before, you want to give him money. So I found in the Mo'adim Muzmanim from Sternbach that he says in Hilchot Tzedakah, it goes by first come, first serve. Even if, you know, he says, like, for example, by like Karbanos, there's a din makire kahuna. This is the Kohen I usually give my Karbanos to. This is the Kohen I give my Meiser to. That does not apply to tzedakah money. Tzedakah money, yeah, think about it, Rabbanim and Shuls, right? They have a charity fund. So normally that charity fund is filled for these organizations that they did for last year. Now someone new wants to come. Says, look, I didn't get any more money than last year. I could only give the things that are expecting it. Now Sternbach says it doesn't work that way. Now Sternbach says the way it works is first come, first serve. If somebody new comes on the scene and he needs money, and he came before someone else who came last year, he gets kedima. And that person will come first.
Why is that person first anyway? This rub is expected.
Yeah, but he's expecting, he has his books, and he knows last year he gave out to all these different organizations.
No, but I'm saying, you know, this there many organizations are known either have their dinner or whatever it is, so it's where it is.
At a certain time, right.
It's
already on the calendar.
Years and years.
Yes, I hear that's an interesting argument. I like that. And you're just saying, if something's already on the calendar, I know this, you know, Super Sunday, they're going to collect money for this. Okay, yeah, maybe that's, you know, considered already that they asked for it for that time.
Not only that, a lot of people get upset. Like,
right. But let's say we're not talking about that. Let's say it's a situation, not a big organization, like some ani. But if one ani happens to get there before a different ani, or Sherbach says, like, he comes first, like, there's a right to that. Yes?
It's a two-part question. What about, you know, people send out the marathon blasts, you know, the emails?
Yeah.
Particularly, you know, one thing...
It's a very interesting question.
One thing is just an email asking for a donation. I guess the second part of the question would be, what if it's an email saying you buy a raffle ticket?
These are great questions. I'm not sure of the answer to this. We spent, you know, this year, you go through our topics, we did quite a few of these new age technology ones. But that's a very important, good question to ask with tzedakah. Nowadays, besides people knocking on your door, there are infinite emails, text messages, what else? Right? WhatsApps, everything, of people soliciting you. Right? So we talked. If somebody knocks on your door, there's a din, l'samets l'slavavcha. What happens if you get an email? So there, I could easily hear Rav Elyashiv's psak applying. Remember we said that there's a difference between the poor person themselves asking you or someone else on their behalf. There's a big difference if a poor person is knocking on your door or you get an email generated by constant contact to support an organization. I don't think ignoring an email would be losamet zeslovavcha. I don't think that would be an issue. However, there are things a little bit in between. I've gotten multiple times, friends of mine who are in different organizations, I get personal texts. Hey, can you help support an organization? I remember recently I did that. I did it online. And within a moment of it going online, I got a text back from my friend, thank you very much. That's personal. Okay, just not knocking on my door, but you know, a text message is a means of connecting. But a generic email doesn't sound like something that if you ignore that, there'll be a little samis and lovavcha. It's not the same as a person coming to your door.
Does it matter if they're asking for a save, for just a donation versus if they're asking you to buy a raffle ticket to support?
No, that's all. If you know from fundraising, there's many, many ways to skin a cat. And especially the fat cats.
Somebody just passed week.
Yes.
I opened my mailbox, so there was an envelope in there, not no return address or anything. Inside the envelope was a personal request, apparently from an Oni or somebody who I don't know exactly, but was having some serious personal issues needing money, and it appears that that person herself, put the envelope into our mailbox.
Wow. Yeah.
So, that's like a choice in between kind of thing.
Again, right, there's also in between. They put it into your mailbox.
But it came directly to you.
I'm not sure. That to me, that strikes me a little more personal, but it wasn't face to face. Yeah. Answer the door. Okay. I want to touch another aspect of chesed that applies in some manner when these aniyim knock on your door. So the first part, we went through all the different halachas of Hilch Tzedakah, what is correct in terms of giving them money. But really, there's another potential mitzvah that's knocking on your door when these people come. It's called the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. Now, there's two madregas of Achnasas Orchim. Obviously, full Achnasas Orchim means you invite someone to your house, to stay at your house, and you take care of them. But there's an even more basic level of Achnasas Orchim, just giving them food, you know. The big side of that being a meal. The small side of that, a drink, a snack, something. Now you really have to think about it. These people are going door to door all day, sometimes for weeks at end. It's not an easy job. And when you're running around like that, especially in hot Florida, you could definitely at least use a drink, sometimes something to cool off with this. Now again, Lav Dafka, this is something which everyone is able to do. Your wife may not really appreciate some honey sitting there on your couch when she doesn't feel the house is ready for it. And this, you really don't care what your house looks like, but afal pike. So you have partners potentially in this chesed. You have to check with your family, but ideally speaking, whatever a person could do for this ani, even again, just as simple as getting them a drink. Sometimes you have to invite them into your house. And you have a front porch. Hey, you know, can I bring you something? That's also literally, as is mentioned before, a chesed, which is knocking on your door. The opportunity to forget about the money. And sometimes, right, look, how much financially could you give them? But just to help them out, to feel like a mensch, they're running around, give them strength to continue what they're doing, give them a drink, give them a little snack, is a big deal. And that's a tremendous mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim. That definitely is domed to the Shekhinah. That's a big deal. Now, I came across, if you look in the back of your sheets, look what the Chofetz Chaim writes over here. This is later on in Avos Chesed, Chelek Gimel, Perek Beis. Chofetz Chaim writes like this, Kosov Asram HaKadoshim, Kishiyavu Arachim HaBezel Shal Adlam, when guests come to a person's house, Yikablu, Kablam B'Sever Pam Yafos, you should accept them with a smile, V'yasim Yadlof Neim Olcho, Lecho, and you should give them right away food to eat, Ki Ula Yohani Roiv, maybe he's very hungry. And he's embarrassed to ask. So the Chofetz Chaim writes, even without asking, you should give them right away, offer them food. And you should give them, you know, he has all the interesting halachas. I'll quickly read through them. You should do it nicely, not mean. If something's troubling you, don't tell them about it. The year it's atzma lehem shu asher. If anything, you should show them that you're rich. Even if the truth is, even if you're a pauper, still give them a chizuk. And then they'll be more able to accept whatever you're giving. If you make them feel, I have no money, I can't really give you anything, but please, you know, you come to my house, I could take some food off my kids' plates and give them to you. Like, I won't be so quick to accept it. So Dr. Chofetz Chaim, even if you're poor, act rich. It's a good trivia question. When is it right for a person to act richer than he is? Now,
we live in the age that cash is king.
Yeah.
People are there for money.
Yeah. Now, this halacha that you should give them food right away, Chofetz Chaim writes in another spot, clearly, that if one doesn't do that, they might be over in the Isser of Baal Ta'acher. Interesting. Baal Ta'acher comes up, Helchus Nedarim, let's say, a person makes a neder to do something, and he delays it. So there's an Isser of Baal Ta'acher. The Chofetz Chaim understands, delaying the mitzvah of Achnasas Orchim, of Tzedakah and Chesed, is also an Isser of Baal Ta'acher. So if I don't give them food right away, I make them wait here another hour till I'm able to give them food. I'm hungry, can I eat something? Come back in an hour. The Chofetz Chaim says one could be over in Baal Ta'acher. So much so, I'll show you what he writes, Lahalacha, in the Mishabura and Hilchos Shabbos. In Reish Ayin Aleph, Halachas of Kiddush, Chofetz Chaim writes, because Yavolo Beisel Yimar Lechol Miyad, excuse me, the Machaber says that you should try to eat right away, as soon as you come home from Shul. Chofetz Chaim writes, in the Mishabura, Hayinu L'Kadosh Kiddush Yisker Shabbos Beis Tchilas Kinnisah, so you should accept Shabbos as early as it comes in. Whatever you do is better. And that's why you should eat right away. Okay, if you're not so hungry, you can wait a little bit, because you already mentioned Shabbos and Tefillah. Let's skip into the last three lines. If there's an issue, your wife wants to start right away, you're not so hungry. Or you have servants who are waiting to eat. You should never push it off. You want to do the mitzvah better because you'll be more satisfied and more able to eat later. But there are poor people in your house. There are people dependent upon you that are hungry. You can't push it off. Chofetz Chaim has a similar thing he writes in Hilchos Sukkah, famous halacha, the first night of Sukkot, what one could do over there, where the Chofetz Chaim says, in terms of waiting, how long you wait, one of the considerations is who's waiting. If there's an ani waiting, there the Chofetz Chaim writes in the Shaar Tzion, you don't want to be over chas hashalom the iser baal ta'acher. So the Chofetz Chaim was super into not making a person wait to eat. The person you're trying to, who's an ani, who needs to eat, don't wait. In fact, I found in the Chofetz Chaim al Torah, on the bottom of your sheets, an amazing thing. When the Chofetz Chaim had aniyim in his house, he would go straight to Kiddush and skip Shalom Aleichem and Eishes Chayil. Aye, shalmal. What's a Shabbos table without shalom aleichem? Eishes Chayim. But the Chafetz Chaim understood, I have an isser here potentially of hurting an ani, bal ta achar of an ani. It's such a big idea, the mitzvah of achnas sarachim. I'm skipping those and going straight to kiddush so we could eat. That's what the Chafetz Chaim did, testified by his students. Amazing. So whatever a person could do in terms of helping an ani, it's not just opening the door and giving whatever you can and treating him with respect. But it's also, you could give him some type of hachnasas orchim. That's also halacha of chesed that applies to a person knocking on a door. Whatever you can do to help them out is a wonderful thing. And I was preparing this shir, so as a good Magid shir, you ask important people to give you stories. Yes?
What about the other side of the coin?
Yeah.
What about the person who wants to ask for tzedakah, but he has money?
I see what you mean by the other side of the coin. Yes. I mentioned, you're right, I think it is very important for vetting in communities to be done, that the person is legit. And, you know, many communities even have a rule, you can't go around unless I see that tuda. You know? But
isn't there an expression that if a person has 200 zuzim, then he can't ask for tzedakah? There is an expression like that. And if you see why is that, because what is tzedakah? Tzedakah in Gematria is 199.
Huh.
So if he has 199 zuzim, he has 200, he can't.
I hear. Okay. So I hear. We'll have to have the Brody family auditing system out. We'll go through. We'll check. I think you should. 100%. Let me just end with this story. Amazing story. My daughter came to me, this is the story she heard in school, from the person who it happened to. There was a person that life was quite busy. In fact, what does it mean life was quite busy? The next day, they had an important test in the hospital to follow up on a cancer diagnosis from a little bit earlier. And obviously, with that on your heart, that's, they're quite distracted. They get a knock on the door. It's a collector. Not only was the collector asking for money, but they knocked on the door, would you mind me staying by your house? Obviously, most people, we're probably exempt twofold. Any collector shows up on our door and asks to stay by our house, that's too much for me. But Kol Shekein, if there's a lot going on in our lives, not an easy thing to do. But the person answering the door was a tzaddik. And he said, sure. This happened actually during Hanukkah. This guy comes to his house late at night. He first has to start setting up his menorah. He brings with him those old oil with the wicks that you have to start actually putting it together. And, you know, I assume the guy offered him his newfangled easy fills. Nah, I do it the old way. The guy helps him with doing that and this. Takes this guy into his house, takes care of him, fine. Next day, he takes care of his own business, goes to the hospital for his treatment, for his testing. And Maisa Shahaya, Kachaya, the test came out, there was nothing there. Like the Chafetz Chaim said, you never know when a person does chesed, the effect of what it does. Legitimate, real chesed, helping out another person, going further, taking them into your house, achnasas orachim, it's a big deal. And many times, more than what the person could do for the ani does for us. Thank you very much for listening. Have a wonderful, wonderful week.